earlier on, I promised you an interview with John Joe. If you just joined us, I'll be keeping you informed about John Joe. John Joe works as a clinical psychologist at the Division of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, DCAP, based at the Red Cross Children's Hospital. Most of his work is at the Therapeutic Learning Center, which is a children's psychiatric inpatient unit on the DCAP campus, just the other side of Rondebosch Common to the main hospital. Aside from the TLC, John is also involved in research regarding support for parents and children with autism. Away from his work, swimming in the ocean is the recently discovered delight. Except when it's too cold, then a hot chocolate is much more fun. I love swimming so much. I think you and I can be best friends. Do you mind explaining what TLC is?
Yeah, sure. So the TLC stands for the Therapeutic Learning Center. And we're based just across the Rondebosch Common, so not at the main Red Cross Hospital. And it's a psychiatric inpatient unit for children. So we've got 6 beds. So space for 6 children to stay with us, boys and girls. And we only admit children or have children with us who are under 13 years. And the youngest is usually maybe 6 or 7. And they come in for a whole range of different problems, all psychiatrically based and sometimes other difficulties as well. As a team, we work together to try and help them and think about what the difficulties are.
How would you explain to a 5-year-old what a clinical psychologist is?
You know, that's a good question. So a clinical psychologist, I would say to a 5-year-old, is somebody who tries to listen to other people's problems, to try and understand them, and then work with them and think with them about coming up with ways of making that problem better.
What is the difference between a clinical psychologist and a psychiatrist?
You know, I get that a lot. People are always asking me. So a psychiatrist is going to be somebody who's a trained medical doctor, and they often give medication. They're able to give medication, whereas a psychologist isn't a doctor, but somebody who has studied how to talk and listen to people to try and understand their problems. But often psychiatrists and psychologists are trying to work and understand with similar types of people.
What are the mental needs of a child?
So you guys have got lots of very interesting questions here. So the mental needs of a child, I think, covers quite a big range of things. So certainly I would think about feelings as being one of those, and thoughts as well, and how those thoughts and feelings impact on how we can interact with the world, how we make relationships, how we achieve our goals, how we get on in the world.
What are the most common mental health disorders affecting children and young people?
So there are a whole range of difficulties that affect children and young people, and unfortunately, they affect lots of children and young people. So depression and anxiety are 2 very common ones, and also things relating to trauma. So when very bad things happen to people, that can often trigger depression and anxiety-like symptoms. And then we also talk about things like neurodevelopmental disorders, which is quite a big fancy word, but really that's talking about things like ADHD or autism. So if we've got time, I can explain a bit more about that. So ADHD is going to be when children have, or young people or adults, have difficulties with paying attention and concentrating on one thing for a long period of time. And children with ADHD can also be very impulsive, so they can be very busy. They don't want to sit still for long. They want to go do lots of different things. And then autism, or autism spectrum disorder, is children who have difficulties interacting with other people. And that can come across in a range of different ways, but they generally have difficulty building friendships and relationships, and socially can have a tough time interacting with others. I suppose the other part that children with autism has is they often get very interested in one thing, and they have difficulty thinking about other things except for that one thing they're interested in.
Why is it important to have good mental health?
Maybe this is a little similar to the answer I was saying earlier, but I think it allows us to have relationships, and it allows us to take part in the world, to think about what goals we want to have and to go and reach those goals, to go and achieve our potential, something like that. If your feelings are meaning that you can't go out and experience the world, then we need to try and think about how to change those feelings, how to change those thoughts, so that you can go and be the person you want to be.
Why do you think there is a stigma around mental health?
There's a lot of stigma around mental health, and I think there might be quite a few reasons, but I think a big reason is that when we can't see something, we find it quite hard to understand what the problem is. So if you've got a broken arm, then it's easy to see that there's a broken arm and that somebody is going to have difficulty picking things up. But if somebody is feeling very sad or very worried about something, then that person might feel quite embarrassed to talk about those kind of things. And so people then don't know that there is a problem and might not help them with that particular problem. So I think when we don't talk about these things, then the problems grow and people tend to imagine what might be going on. And that's why we get all these very unhelpful stereotypes about people being crazy or mad or that kind of thing, when for a lot of people they just don't know what mental health is all about or mental illness.
What is the TLC doing to demystify such perceptions?
Well, I think the big thing that we're trying to do is to try and get people to talk about mental illness and mental health and the kind of things people can do to get better. And I think that means talking to the child and the family to try and help them see that they don't have to be embarrassed about mental illness, that there are things that they can do and things that other people can do to help them. And I think that the more that we're talking about these things, then the less mystery there'll be about these kind of difficulties. And I hope that the more people we tell and the more people feel confident in talking about their difficulties, then the less stigma there's going to be out there.
Take us through the process of diagnosing a child with a mental health problem.
So I think the first thing we do is we try and listen to the child. We try and find out what is bothering them so we can really try and understand their world and how they experience things. Once we've done that, and that might take quite a long time, we also want to see how the child is in different places. So maybe in the classroom, maybe at home, maybe in the clinic with us, but in a few different places, even in the playground, so that we can really get an idea of how this child's getting on and what are the things bothering them. I think it's also important for us to talk to other people, not just the child. So who are the people who know that child the best? Maybe it's the parents, maybe it's friends, maybe it's teachers, or maybe it's even other doctors who have worked with that child before. So the more information we have about the child, the more we can know what the difficulty is and how we can best help with it.
How learning difficulties and mental health issues may affect a child's behavior?
That is not an easy question for me to answer, because learning difficulties and mental health really covers so much that it's hard to say how it affects it in a very simple, easy way. But I think that's why it's so important for us to do an assessment to see how it affects the child, this particular child, because we know that each child is different. So saying that child has depression can help us a little bit, but we want to know what that means for this particular child.
What are the challenges faced by clinical psychologists when working with children?
So there are a few things for me. I think one thing is that it's very hard to talk about these things. It's not easy to say if you're feeling very sad a lot of the time or if you're feeling very worried about something a lot of the time. People feel embarrassed. They feel like they're not strong enough to cope with their problems. So I think getting children to feel comfortable enough to talk about what's bothering them is a big challenge. I think the other thing is that there aren't easy solutions for these things. It's not like you can just take a pill and everything's better. Things are usually more complicated than that. So trying to listen to everyone's point of view, because everyone has different perspectives, can be really helpful. And I think the last thing for me is that people change as they grow up. So when I'm talking to a 5-year-old and then 3 years later, I see them when they're eight, they've changed. They're a different person from what they were, and their difficulties will change as well. So the things that we might do to help a five-year-old are going to be different for what we do to help an eight-year-old or a 10-year-old.
TLC tailors its work so that it includes the child and the family. Why do you choose this approach?
You know, we found that it's really helpful to include the family, that sometimes when you tell people what's going on, then they think of ways that they can help with the problem, or they see things that they might have done that haven't helped with the problem. So the more we include the family, the more helpful it is for the child. I think then the parents can feel like they can do things, they feel more confident, because often for a parent it's difficult to have a child who's very unhappy or very worried or very angry a lot of the time, and we don't always know what to do as parents. And being given information can be a really good start to try and change what you're doing to help your child. And I think as well, children feel better when parents and families are involved, that it's not just them trying to solve this problem, it's everyone's trying to work together to solve the problem. Because it's not just about the child being the problem, it's about everyone working together on the problem.
Why did you decide to become a clinical psychologist?
I think for me, I was always interested in people, and I always enjoyed listening to people and trying to understand what was going on for them. And this is an area where there's so much going on, and you've really got to pay attention and try and think about other people. And that was something that really fitted nicely for me. And I think as well, I wanted to try and help where I could. And this seemed like a good place to do that.
What message would you give to the children here at the hospital?
So I think maybe the first thing I'd say is that it's so important to talk about things. If you're upset or worried about something, maybe you're really struggling at school, maybe somebody is trying to bully you, maybe the work is really hard, maybe you're feeling really sad and you don't want to play with your friends anymore. There's a whole bunch of things that might be going on. I think if those are happening, it's really good to talk to someone. And maybe you don't want to talk to your parents. Maybe you want to talk to another adult, someone who you can trust. I think that's a really good start if things are bothering you. Because we know that everyone feels angry some of the time. Everyone feels worried. Everyone feels upset some of the time. And talking about those things can be a good place to try and work out how to change that.
Any last words?
Just want to say a big thank you to you guys for letting me come on your station, and it's great to see what lovely work you're doing. And I also want to say a big shout out to the TLC, and thank you to the team who are doing such great work.
Thank you for coming to this interview today. It was very insightful and I've learned a lot.